All right, thank you for the good message and song. Behold the Lamb, that's good advice for us today. So let's do that. Let's take our Bibles and open it up to the book of 1 Kings this morning. If you do that with me, please. 1 Kings chapter number 10. We'll look at a somewhat familiar story in the Old Testament. It's good to see all of you today. Hope you had a good Christmas holiday. Hope Santa Claus was good to all of you. And didn't no coals in the stocking or whatever else bad kids get or whatever it is. But hope everybody had a good holiday and a good time with their family and friends. Good to have you here today. And it's good to have the Osteens visiting with us, like my dad mentioned earlier. You know, I went to a couples conference with the Osteens a few years back. I don't know if I ever told you this story. It was a wonderful, beautiful conference up in the mountains of North Georgia. Very pretty up there. And reminds us of the mountains we have around here, I guess. Actually, but I was up in our mountainous region. I went to Mount Dora the other day and just couldn't find the mount. But anyway, we were up there having a couples conference, and there was another pastor there teaching, and it was a wonderful time for introspection and reflection on your relationship and things like that. And my wife and I were sitting behind the Osteens, David and Christy, and the pastor kind of brought things down to a conclusion at his message, you know, of his session about love between the husband and wife and all this kind of stuff. And I heard Christy whisper to David. She says, "David, will you still love me when I'm not young and pretty, when I'm old and I've lost my looks? Will you still love me?" And David kind of pulled her a little closer, hugged her a little tighter, and says, "Honey, not only will I still love you, but I'll write to you no matter where you're at." That's real love right there, amen? All right. 1 Kings chapter 10. Let's look at a true story. Let's look at this passage, and we'll read from verses 1 to verse number 10, and we'll remind you of this story from the Old Testament, King Solomon and the Queen of the Nile. I'm just kidding, the Queen of Sheba. Queen of Sheba here. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and, behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed or blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Verse number 7 has that familiar phrase in it, and I'd like to look at it this morning. I'll look at some other of the words that we've read over together, but verse 7 especially, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me." So we'll talk about that this morning for a few moments. The half has not been told. The half has not been told. Let's bow together. Thank you, Father, for those that are here today. Father, thank you for the time of year that you've given us and a time to be with friends and family. And now, Father, the opportunity to worship and look to thy word this morning. Father, we thank you most of all for what Sister Johnson was singing about a moment ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that came, and the reason we can have a Christmas today or any other day of the year. Father, thank you for the salvation, the forgiveness we have in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we lift the Lord Jesus up the best we can this morning. Father, we look to your word to do that, so help us, Father. Give us an open heart and open ears and open mind to receive thy word this morning. May your blessing be upon it, and we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. The half has not been told. I was looking for that song in our songbook. I meant to do it earlier, but I was looking this morning, thought it'd be easy to find, and I didn't find it. I don't know if it's in there or not, Brother Cruz, but you can't look now because you got to pay attention to the preaching, okay? But you know how song leaders are sometimes with their songbooks. Anyway, the Queen of Sheba, she's famous. She's mentioned in the New Testament. I'll look at that reference here in a few minutes, but she hears about the fame of Solomon. Now, you remember about Solomon. That was kind of the pinnacle kingdom on this earth, especially when it comes to a kingdom of righteousness and the Lord's people, the nation of Israel. It was the pinnacle kingdom and how great it was and the greatness of the earthly temple of the house of the Lord that was constructed during that time. And here's what's interesting. Here comes this queen from a long way away. She's the Queen of Sheba. Sheba's the name of the land she was queen over. And if you look in your reference, if you had time to study it, back in Genesis chapter 10, you find that Sheba, S-H-E-B-A, Sheba was the grandson of Cush. You remember Cush from Genesis chapter 10? All the names that are mentioned there in Genesis chapter 10, especially those sons of Ham leading up to the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. You probably remember about that. You remember Cush also had a son named Nimrod. He's of what we call, I guess, great notoriety or great fame. But Sheba was a grandson of Cush, and you can read that in Genesis 10:7 towards the end of that verse. Genesis 11 is the record of the Tower of Babel when the peoples were scattered. That's kind of when the nations were formed, so to speak, when God came down, confounded their languages, and they had to scatter. And Sheba, apparently, and that part of the family, Sheba himself possibly went to the land that this queen that's visiting Solomon here in 1 Corinthians 10 is ruler over during that day. And she hears this great report of Solomon. And like most of us, if you hear a great report of something, most of the time you think it's been exaggerated. That's how it is, humanly speaking. Most of the time you might get some truth, but you get a lot of human exaggeration or embellishment that goes along with it. And so she hears this report from far away, but she comes and undertakes this long, expensive journey to put this report to the test, to put the matter to the test. And she actually finds out when she gets there that the word that she heard was true, but actually it was the other way. The half had not been told her. It was more true. There was more to it than what the report was that came to her ears in her own country. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 1 Kings chapter 10 here, we see that she brings gifts to Solomon. And they're expensive gifts. You know, a talent is a measurement. I know we always talk about someone burying their talent in the sand like they've taken their ability to sing special music and they've buried it in the sand. No, talent is actually a measure of currency. It's a measure of money. And so she gives them 20 talents of gold. And it starts talking about the great gifts that she gives to Solomon, gifts that could be measured. But what's interesting in the passage is King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba her gifts that could not be measured. The wisdom, the answers to her questions, and just the overall understanding of who the true God was. And that's what's interesting to me, is the Queen of Sheba, a pagan queen, returned to her land having learned of the one and only true God. Isn't that a blessing to think about that? Here's a historical story for us that had an impact upon this queen, and I'm sure it had an impact upon her people. It's interesting in verse 8, the queen sees the men and servants that are happy. She sees the men and servants that delight in the wisdom of their king. Do you realize that King Solomon and his kingdom here picture something more than just the great earthly kingdom and that great culmination that God did with the nation of Israel? But it pictures several things, one of them being the future kingdom when the Lord Jesus Christ himself rules and reigns on this old earth for 1,000 years, and the nation of Israel will inherit the earth at that time. Their prophesied kingdom will be realized. Of course, it pictures that, but I guess you could say in general, it pictures God's kingdom in general, God's eternal kingdom, which if you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning as your personal Savior, guess what? You're a part of God's eternal kingdom. You have the greatest ruler. You have the greatest king. You have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the one that you serve. You are in his kingdom. What a blessing it is to think of it that way. I always think, and I've been saying it a lot lately, but Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and God's plan for that even includes us Gentiles, where it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. When you start to think about what you have in Jesus Christ, understand this, the half has not been told. When you start to think about your future existence, your eternal existence, can I tell you today, it can be fun around Christmas time, and I hope you got the Christmas gift you wanted to get, but I tell you what, the half has not been told when it comes to your future eternity in Christ Jesus. It'll exceed Christmas 1954 or 2013 or whatever Christmas you want to fill in the blank. Eternity in Christ Jesus is the best it can get. Amen? What a blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So let's talk about that for a few minutes this morning. Let's look at that statement and examine a few of the points here that we'll skip over here in the passage concerning that the half has not been told. The half has not been told. Number one, when I think about this statement, famous statement that the Queen of Sheba made, the half has not been told. I think that applies, number one, to God's eternal word, to God's word, to God's wisdom. Let's say it that way, to God's word. Now, I sometimes laugh, and sometimes I probably respond in the flesh and get a little, sarcastic, skeptical, cynical, things like that, when I see how some people think they understand and they've got a handle and they've mastered the Word of God. Because religion will tell you that this is all you have to know is this, 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 and if you know this, then you're good to go. What a joke that is, by the way. Our goal is not to master the Word of God. Our goal is to let the Word of God master us. This is a book that not a man wrote, but God himself wrote this book. And when it comes to this book right here, you have not arrived, you have not attained, you have not apprehended. The half has not been told when it comes to God's eternal word. We had to have the right approach. That's what gets me, I guess you could say. It makes me laugh respond maybe with a way I shouldn't respond, is because religion acts like it's figured out the Word of God, when the truth is religion don't even have the right approach to the Word of God. They want you to come to the Word of God thinking you already know what it says, you already know the bottom line, that and this and this and that. And a lot of times it'll have to do with pointing to a man or a leader, a priest or a pastor or somebody that, well, if you really want to know what it says, go talk to this person. They're the one that they watch over your soul, and they're the ones that's going to tell you and help you understand how to get to God, and they'll get to God for you. That's so unscriptural. If you hold that to the light of God's word, the light of God's word points that out to be lies and deception. That's just man's wrong religious ideas. No, every believer is supposed to go to God's word for himself. And as we go to God's word for ourselves, we do have fellow believers that we assemble with, and we do have teachers and preachers and pastors that God has ordained and put in position, but they're there to help us and encourage us and exhort us. They don't go to God for us. No, the Lord Jesus Christ went to God for us. He is God. He's revealed God to us. That's who we go to. The Word of God, when you apply this statement, the half has not been told, you could apply that to the sons of men today in 2013 and find out that most of us have a wrong approach when it comes to God's Word. Here's what's interesting. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3. The Queen of Sheba, her own experience. We can talk about our experience. I can talk about my opinion. But let's look at her experience as documented and inspired and preserved for us. Verse 3, she says, "And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not." You ever been asked any questions by a woman before, men? How about that? He had all the answers. I've had to counsel people before. Sometimes there's just not any answers, okay? Quit trying to understand the woman. Just love the woman. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Yet King Solomon, he had all the answers for this lady, this queen of Sheba. Here's what's interesting to me. Today we have questions. Men have questions today. People think they almost get prideful in their questions as they put on their skeptics, their doubters hat. Yet, you understand that there's only one place today in the last few days of 2013 to find all the answers to the most important questions we face in life, and it's this answer book right here. I don't care what your question is, and you can come up with something silly, or you can come up with something serious, but if you truly will approach God's word in faith, God has the answers for you. This is the answer book, and especially when it comes to the question about where did we come from, why are we here, and where are we going, this is the book for you right here. It answers those most important questions, and the whole world could get their questions answered if they would come to the right answer book. Verse number 4, as you keep reading in 1 Kings 10, it says, "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom." Think about that. What does the Bible tell us? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yet people try to circumvent God and who the true God is and who Almighty, the Most High God is. They try to go around that, and they try to go through men's education, or they try to go through men's ideas or men's assumptions or supposings. And yet, if you want the answer, there's one place to get it. The Bible, the Word of God, His eternal Word, we can find the truth and we can trust it with our eternal souls. I think about the story, and you probably heard it before. Way back when, the automaker Henry Ford asked an electrical genius, his name was Charlie Steinmetz, to build generators for his Ford factory. Well, one day the generators ground to a halt and the repairman couldn't find the problem. So Henry Ford called Steinmetz, who tinkered with the machines just for maybe just a couple hours and then threw the switch. Well, the generators whirled to life, but later Henry Ford got a bill for $10,000 from the electrical genius. Well, Henry Ford was upset. He was flabbergasted, the story says, and he was rather tight-fisted, if you've heard the stories about him. He went to Steinmetz and he inquired why the bill was so high. Well, Steinmetz's reply was this: "For tinkering with the generators, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. Sometimes you have to go to God's Word to find out the right place to tinker, amen? Mankind doesn't even know the right questions, much less the right answers. So you have to go to the right source. You have to go to the right place. And that's very, very valuable, valuable information. And let me tell you today, God's Word is the right place to go. If you'll approach it in simple childlike faith, believing God, trusting God, He's going to give you the answers that you so greatly desire. That's what the Queen of Sheba found out. When it came to all her hard questions, she gave them to the king. And guess what? All her questions were answered. In fact, he actually broke her spirit. She didn't break his. That's what the passage tells us. When it comes to God's word, when it comes to God's wisdom, the half has not been told. But let's continue on in the passage. Look at verse number 7 of 1 Kings chapter 10. Here's her testimony. Queen of Sheba saying, "Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me, thy wisdom," we just talked about it, "and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." I thought about the second thing to look at when it comes to this passage and when it comes to the Word of God in general. The half has not been told when it comes to God's people, to God's people. King Solomon was God's king. King Solomon was the son of King David, a king, a man after God's own heart. God had accomplished his will with his nation. It's so important, and you see great glimpses of the great days of the nation of Israel during times with David and with Solomon. And what a blessing that is, and that has many future prophetic ramifications that we could speak of. But I thought about that statement, "thy wisdom and thy prosperity," in verse number 7. Now, most of us, too many of us, we have the earthly mindset that we want to serve God today, so we'll be blessed by God with earthly things today. I think we have to learn to check that approach at the door, understanding we're not the nation of Israel in Old Testament times, but we are God's people. We're the church today, and we have blessings that exceed anything they had in Old Testament times, because our blessings blessings are heavenly. Our blessings are spiritual. And for some reason, when we view things in our humanity, we don't think that's enough. But can we say, can we pause right now and understand that that's more than enough to have everything we have in Jesus Christ? We just need to change our desires. We just need to change our outlook and our focus. We need to change what we meditate upon and change our questions so we can get the right answer. No, when it comes to God's people, we have much prosperity in Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you're healthy, wealthy, and wise today. That means you have an eternity, which is the long part of your existence, that far exceeds and is not worthy to be compared with the things you experience now in this earthly life. Much more we could say, but when I think about the half has not been told, I think of God's people. I think of our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 9, she used the word forever when it talked about the Lord's love for Israel and the kingdom that he's established and the king that he's placed on the throne for his nation. And she used the word forever, and that's what I think of when I think of our king and our future and our existence. Forever, everlasting life, the New Testament tells us. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. Do you understand? When it comes to God's people, you have to look at God's plan for the future. And so much that we could say about that, but do you understand that God has a plan? He has a program that we're involved in, and that culminates in his plan for all eternity. What a blessing that is. Think about heaven. That's the song that actually tries to quote or rearrange the quote here in this passage. It's talking about heaven. I think the song goes something like this. The half cannot be fancied this side the golden shore. I think it starts like this. It says, to Jesus every day we find our hearts are closer drawn. He's fairer than the sons of men and fresher than the morn. He's all that we can say of him in fairest words and more, and every day he's dearer than he was the day before. And the half cannot be fancied on this side, this earthly side, the golden shore. Our eternal existence in Christ is something we need to meditate upon. It's something we need to think about. We think about all the earthly things, we mind earthly things, but we do need to follow the advice in the New Testament of setting our affections on things above. We are God's heavenly people, so even while we're on earth, we're supposed to live like that. We're supposed to act like that. We're supposed to serve like that and walk like that. God's people, our position in Jesus Christ, when it comes to it, the half has not been told. We can look at the wonderful things that are written in Scripture, but our mind is not even yet able to grasp and to comprehend all that is there for us in Christ Jesus. So much more we could say. Ephesians 1:18, Paul speaks of the eyes of our understanding. He wants them to be enlightened. Why? That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What the future glory is, what our inheritance is in Christ Jesus. So much we could say. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God saved us, yes, to forgive us our sins, yes, to redeem us back. We belong to him. He's our maker. Now we're bought back, all that stuff. But he saved us with a purpose that exceeds the 80 years or 90 years he might give us on planet Earth, a purpose that lasts for all eternity. God has done that for us, and yet, for too many of us believers, the half has not been told. We are so unlearned and uneducated understanding God's eternal purpose. That includes us. I know you got to be thankful for heaven, don't you? I mean, can you examine the end of 2013? Here we are already almost to 2014. And can you start looking in your mind the other years that you've known? And I hope things are going well for you. I hope family, I hope your finances are good. I hope your health is good. But yet you can probably think about years that were better in the past. And you can look at the world in general and you can see how it's on that downward descent and spiral. You see that it's not getting better. You see that mankind's not fixing things. Oh yeah, there's plenty of technology and conveniences. Yet, overall, it's a more wicked world than it was 20 years ago. It's a more wicked world than it was 50 years ago. You can see that. So you can remind yourself, even though your feet are planted on this ball of dirt right now, not to dig them in too much. Because this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue, right? We are God's heavenly people. We are called for His eternal purpose. And we're supposed to live like that right now. That's supposed to be our goal and what we're reminded that's set before us day in and day out. The half can not be fancied on this side, the golden shore, what you have in Christ Jesus. I mean, Queen of Sheba, she made a long trip, man. She went from wherever that little place was or that big place was, more, I guess you could say, in the deeper, darker part of that big continent down there, and she comes all the way up, and she sees the kingdom and the house of the Lord, the great temple that's been built, and she sees King Solomon, all the pomp and circumstance and fanciness and elegance and instruction that goes with that, and she says, you know what? What I heard was just a part of the story. It wasn't even half of the story. What I see now with my own eyes, what I experience right now, is so much more than what I heard. Do you understand there won't be one of us in Christ Jesus that won't utter those same sentiments and thoughts one day when we see Him face to face, when we realize everything that God has for us to realize, the glory which shall be revealed in us? Oh, we could talk a lot about that, but let me conclude the message. 1 Kings chapter 10, and you have the Queen of Sheba that comes, and she's enlightened. Her understanding changes. She thinks one way, and she believes one way, and then yet she sees God's king, and she sees God's house, the great temple that was built. She sees God's people, God's servants, and all of a sudden she understands things differently now. She leaves believing different than when she came. Think about it. It's quoted in the New Testament when I think about how the half has not been told concerning God's forgiveness, God's finished work of salvation. Matthew 12:42, Christ Himself is speaking to the men of His day, especially that religious crowd of that nation, the nation of Israel, that saw its peak under Solomon, but is way far from that when Christ, the Messiah, shows up on the scene. Matthew 12:42, He says this, the Queen of the South, talking about the Queen of Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, right now, a greater than Solomon is here. So she heard about Solomon. Yeah, great man, but just a man. She heard and she came to prove it out and to test what she heard. And she traveled a long way. She got there and she put to test what she, the report that came to her. Yet here you have the men of Israel, the leadership, the Pharisees, the religious crowd, the ruling class of the nation of Israel. And there's a greater than Solomon amongst them. And yet they won't believe. Their understanding won't be opened to Him. See, the men that were alive in Christ's day, and let's just say it this way, the men that are alive today in our day have heard the fame of the greater than Solomon, have they not? Is there not record? Is there not testimony? Is there not true preaching of God's word, and there's power in God's word of the greater than Solomon? But unfortunately, unlike the Queen of Sheba, too many men do not put to test what they've heard. If they just would put to test, if they would just reach out in faith, if they do that, they would find out that all that has been said about the love and saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's true, and they would be able to exclaim the same message that the Queen of Sheba said, the half has not been told unto me. Oh, when it comes to all our sins and transgressions and all the times that we've participated in unrighteousness and broken God's holy law, when it comes to that guilt and that burden of sin that every man, woman, boy, and girl carries at the age of accountability in this earthly life, when it comes to that burden that'll buckle your knees, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and find out that He'll take that burden and He's washed it white as snow, and He's atoned by His divine blood and sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. What a great thing that is. And you could say, oh, I thought it'd be good to know the Lord, but the half has not been told. I'm forgiven. No more sin, no more burden of sin. Me bearing it before a holy and just God. Oh, we could exclaim that. I hope you've been able to do that. I hope, like the Queen of Sheba, you've by faith put to test what God's word says, and you've responded to God's word in faith. I hope you've done that. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that you're in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus is in you, and that you're right with God, reconciled for all eternity. You can exclaim, the half has not been told. It's because of God's finished work. Oh yes, he was born of a virgin. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, not a baby crib, but a place that the farm animals are supposed to eat. Yeah, all that happened that we see in the nativity scenes, but of course we know the story does not end there. We know the Lord Jesus Christ lived the perfect life and laid down that perfect life on the cross of Calvary, shed his precious sinless blood for all of us sinners, shed it, atoned, was buried, rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 40 days later, he ascended up to his rightful place, his earned position at the right hand of the throne of glory. And that's where he's at right now, with his arms, just like they were on the cross, outstretched for you and me. If you don't know him today, today's your opportunity to find out how forgiving and loving, how that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished everything that he needed to accomplish for your salvation, for your eternity, for your future in him. Do you know him today? Is he your Savior? Have you been able to allow yourself to accept what God has done for you and had the response, the half has not been told? Because it can be really good. Just like for the men and the servants in front of Solomon in that great kingdom, they were happy. They delighted in the wisdom of their Lord. In fact, it reminds me of Psalm number 1 about the blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Because you belong to the King, because the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, well, you love to spend time with him. And spending time with him is your delight. It lights you up. It makes you happy. You can be happy even in this unhappy world. You can even have wisdom in this foolish generation if you know the Lord.